Okay, if you want to be turning in your Bible, we'll be looking again in the book of Hebrews as we're continuing to study about Jesus, our Messiah. Hebrews chapter 9 today, begin reading at verse 24. So you'll find the words on the screen or in your bulletin. The writer to the Hebrews is describing for us what Jesus did for us and where it happened and why it's important. Fitting it all together in a wonderful way. So, Hebrews chapter 9, beginning at verse 24, I'll invite you to stand in honor of God's word at this time. And open your heart to the word of the Lord. For Christ did not enter a sanctuary made with human hands that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself. Now to appear for us in God's presence. Nor did he enter heaven to offer himself again and again, the way the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood that is not his own. Otherwise, Christ would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world. But he has appeared once for all at the culmination of the ages, to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. Just as people are destined to die once, after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many. And he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting. So he entered into that temple, and he also, it says, appeared. So he appeared. What does that mean? Well, that's a beautiful word, right? I mean, if something appeared out of nowhere that was very helpful to you, you would say it with a big smile on your face, right? It just appeared. Well, it means for something or someone to become present, right? To be visible. And to be in a particular space that is significant or important. So it says he appeared in this place. And it's amazing for us how, as creatures of habit, we get used to what we see and think about on a regular basis. So our lives quickly fall into patterns and rhythms. Now, if we've been very intentional and careful about how we set up our life, and if we've built reminders into our life of things, of what's really important and what we should be focusing on, things go better. but on the average, for the average person, things just fall into happenstance. Things just fall into a rhythm that they haven't really thought about. But then sometimes God appears in your life, right? Or circumstances that were unexpected appear and they get your attention. Amen? When you realize there's another presence there, it makes all the difference. And Jesus appeared in this heavenly temple, and by his appearing there, it signaled something important for all of time. It says he appeared at the culmination of the ages. Let's just say that together. He appeared at the culmination of the ages. So all of the time periods have been moving toward this moment. All of the longings of human beings have been looking forward, and the picture was very fuzzy on our side. We didn't know exactly what was needed. We just knew, like Bono and U2, we still hadn't found what we were looking for. We knew it was still out there and ahead, even though there were wonderful things put in place. God's people still knew and sensed that something more was needed. More leadership, more transformation. The nations truly needed to be healed, and the problem of sin needed to actually be dealt with, so that it wasn't just a promise to cling to, that someday, though your sins were scarlet, they would be white as snow, but that that could be a living reality. So, at the culmination of all of these ages of time that have rolled on, and that word culmination means the ending point, the determination point, but kind of meaning the coming together. See, at this very particular moment, very particular place, God, very particular God had a plan all along to resolve problems. Now, if we think about things as problem-solution, and that's how we want it all to be worked out, and I think that kind of math is what makes the problem of evil seem so unbearable to some people, because they see the lingering problems of sin and brokenness in our world, and they say, why would God allow this? But God resolves the problem of sin. God resolves the problem of evil. He doesn't just solve it in some sort of simplistic way. It's not like 2 + 2. It's more complicated than the most complex equation you could possibly imagine. Much bigger problem than that, requiring much more advanced math, and it has to work itself out in time. But for us, as we are living now, the problem of sin can be resolved in Jesus. It's happened on the cosmic scale. It's beginning to be revealed and applied on the human scale, but it's still working itself out until the fullness of God's kingdom comes, until his will is done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. But God had a plan. When Jesus appeared, God's plan was kicking into gear. Everyone had waited so long for this, including God, right? I mean, God exists beyond and outside of our sense of what time is, but still, God wanted this thing solved and resolved. And as the people were looking and yearning and longing and crying out, God was beginning to act. And it says that he appeared to do away with sin. I don't have time to spend as much time with each of these things as I want to today, but doing away with sin is causing it to stop from continuing to have its unhindered impact. He came to resolve it and to do away with it in our lives. Part of the baggage of sin is the way that it's sort of the gift that keeps on giving in a terrible way. It's there and the residue of it remains, and it holds people back and hinders them, and bad decisions that have been made lead to other effects down the road. And so it's just something that just kept on reverberating across the ages. And Jesus appears and is able to absorb all of that energy and to do away with sin through what he did for us. Now, what he did about sin in doing away with it is not all that he's ultimately up to. And sometimes our theology is, frankly, a little wimpy. We only think about Jesus solving our guilt problem, that, whoa, I feel real guilty for my sins, and I might be going to hell, so, ooh, I gotta find a solution to this. And then we look for that, and then we find that in Jesus, it's our guilt. It goes away, and we're like, ooh, okay, I can get back to my friends. God's just getting started where Jesus does away with sin. But this moment where Jesus appears begins to set all other moments in motion that will lead to the fullness of our salvation. So it says that he appeared at the culmination of the ages in order to do away with sin. It also says he was sacrificed. Now, of course, we know that he was sacrificed on the cross. That he went there to that cruel instrument of torture and destruction. And he went there to do cosmic business. Now, don't misunderstand. Our theology gets a little bit messed up when we think it's God attacking Jesus and making him suffer. The Romans killed Jesus. The Romans are the ones who bear the guilt of his death. It was almost inevitable when someone representing the pure and holy love of God appeared embodied on earth and began to preach a message that went far beyond what any empire could ever offer the world, that there would be this clash. Whenever the power of love encounters military wrapping everything up and having the office ready for whoever's taking over for you. And then this horrible news comes in. And then an officer who had served for many years, a few years older than I am, who's on the phone with his wife, gets the call. He goes and answers that call and lays down. That's offering your life to you with intent. It's the same way that Jesus went to the cross to offer himself to us. This violence of Rome was intended to silence all enemies. That people nailed to a tree right outside of town and left there in the sun would send a stunning message to silence all critics. God is acting on a much larger scale through this horrible series of events. I guarantee you, as we understand, never lose sight of this, because you've got a whole book of the Bible to go back to and read again if you need to be reminded of it, that Jesus is not a passive victim. In fact, Jesus was a high priest presiding over his own sacrificial death. Now, how do you do that? I don't know. I don't even know how you'd represent that in art. But we know it to be true. We know that Jesus alone could accomplish this, and I'm so grateful that he did. Jesus' broken body was held up as an offering to restore fellowship with God. And his blood was there poured out to cleanse from sin. And now, suddenly, so much of the Old Testament made even more sense. And so that's another reason why the letter to the Hebrews was written, pulling together all these grand themes. Jesus was doing what everyone needed when he died on the cross. But what was going on physically, there was more going on in the courts of heaven. He was doing what nobody else could do in offering a perfect sacrifice for all the sins of everyone who was willing to be redeemed. Now that's a moment, ladies and gentlemen. That is a cosmic moment. It happened, and you have hope for all eternity because it did. Amen? It also tells us that this happened once for all. So let's say that together. Once for all. It's a phrase that appears many times. We're just kind of curious for the word once, for the phrase once for all, but we say it again and again and again because it applies on so many levels. In verses 26 and 27, it says, otherwise, Christ would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world. And let's read the rest of this together, if you can read it there. But he has appeared once for all at the culmination of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. Just as people are destined to die once, and after that, to face judgment. Once and for all. And so this speaks not only to the action, but also to the moment itself. So the action that took place was one that only had to happen one time because of who Jesus is. It's once for all the ages that are to come, and it's once in time in terms of it's an event in time that took place and in real time affected everything else that was to come after it. And the idea that it is for all, that's so full, and again, I could spend week after week just unpacking what for all means. It means for all the sins of all the people, amen? It means all kinds of people, not just certain people. And it means for all kinds of problems that all the people have. Jesus' one-time death achieved for all, everything and all that was needed. Once again, this is happening at the culmination of the ages, as everything is converging toward this one moment in time, this beautiful moment. It makes all the other moments possibly redeemed. So Jesus, as he died on the cross, was in the grave and then raised again victorious, is a high priest going through priestly motions with the sacrifice of himself and then his blood sprinkled in that tabernacle, not covering over any sin that remained in heaven, but making it possible for us to be in the direct presence of God. And also in that tabernacle on earth, that veil was torn. in that moment. And now people could come directly to God. Wow. Do you remember that? Do you carry that with you all the time? How amazing it is. But it's going to get even more amazing. Because not only is it true that he appeared, but it is also true that he will appear. Amen? So let's say that together. He will appear. He'll appear again when he returns. Now, we're getting very close to Advent. We've got special books and materials that are on hand and waiting for you. I hope that you'll take that daily reading guide and read the book and read the scriptures and meditate on it throughout the week. We're even going to visit into it a little bit on the TLC meetings as well. We're going to get into what it means to be waiting for this. But Advent will be all about that hope that Jesus will appear again. It's about how his first coming set it up and how his first coming prepares us to await his second coming. So that first time he addressed the problem of sin in a once and for all way, but the second time he comes with a very different purpose. Amen? He comes to bring salvation. He comes to bring salvation. And this is the actual and full deliverance of salvation. So understand this about salvation. When you confess your sins, when you believe that Jesus died for your sins, when you believe that God raised him from the grave, victorious over sin, and only the grace of God can help you to believe and affirm that in your life. And when you confess that Jesus is Lord, when all of these things happen, the Bible teaches us that you are saved. Amen? And so you can know, you can experience it. There's something real that happens inside of you when you come to this place of trust in Jesus. But that's not all the Bible says about salvation. Now, you are saved if you have passed and crossed over this threshold. But the Bible goes on to say that as we live in community with God's people, as we walk in fellowship with God, we keep on learning and growing. Amen? And in this way, we are continuing to get over the problem of sin. That's why I talked about how the problem of sin is resolved in Jesus, but it's still being worked out and resolved in our daily lives. And so in that sense, we are being saved. Are you with me so far? So we are saved, and we are being saved, as we do what the Apostle Paul encouraged us to do, to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Amen? There is that daily process of growing in grace and letting your life reflect the love of God more and more. And all of us have ways we could continue to make progress. We are being saved. It's continuous. And it's conditional on us remaining in relationship with God. Now, you're not going to lose your salvation like you lose a pen around your house, right? It's not going to accidentally fall out of your pocket. But if you let yourself grow too bitter, if you become too skeptical, if you begin to push the things of God back and turn your heart away from God and eventually no longer want the things of God in any way to be a part of your life, God's not going to drag you into heaven kicking and screaming. Amen? And so this process of being saved is this process of remaining in right relationship with God as well. That's not all. In its fullness, salvation and transformation will be complete one day. It says one day we will be saved. Amen? So we are saved, we are being saved, and we will be saved in that ultimate moment when Jesus returns. And that's where the time of sort of being put to the test and put to the trial will be over. And we will find ourselves safely on the shores of the fullness of the kingdom of God. Amen indeed. That's what we're living for, and that's what's going to happen when he appears again. Amen. We will be like him, and we shall see him as he is, and I can't wait. Wait, no, let me correct that. I can wait, and I will wait, because he's coming to bring the fullness of salvation, say it with me, to all those who are waiting for him. Let's say that again. To all those who are waiting for him. So this morning, are you waiting for him? Because there are things awaiting all of us. Two things at least. We will die and we will face the judgment. Amen? Once for all. Jesus is your path for dealing with that reality. But he's not just a little fire insurance policy on the fringes of your life, okay? This is real, and this is about who you really are and who God is making you to be. So make sure that you've settled things with him. Regardless of how many years you have left, Jesus could return at any moment. So let every moment of your life be redeemed. Be ready and be waiting for Jesus. In a few weeks, we'll be rehearsing together how to wait well for the arrival of Jesus. But for now, just make sure that you're not growing weary. Make sure you're not distracted. Make sure you haven't started looking for something else. The letter to the Hebrews is written to help us understand this. Don't go back. Don't go back to old ways when things get tough and you forget and life gets a little cloudy. Don't go back because you already know that stuff doesn't work. Amen? And while you're in this posture of waiting, don't get bored and don't move on to see other options, because this was once and for all. This is it, ladies and gentlemen. This is your hope. This is your life. This is your path. Amen? He's your once and for all Savior. So stay with him. Stay in God's family. Put your hope in Jesus. Will you bow your heads? Heavenly Father, thank you for perfectly dealing with the terrible problem of sin. But Lord, thank you for working out the fullness of that amazing transaction deep inside the life of each one of us, and how we're sharing life together. There's parts of this we'll never get on our own. We can only understand it as we rub against each other and learn from each other and see the example of each other. And so I thank you for these who are here today and for making it easier for themselves to see and experience and continue being saved and to look forward with hope for that moment when we're finally and fully, completely delivered from sin. But in these moments now, make this a powerful moment. Maybe it's a hinge moment for someone here today. They've never really settled that they actually believe in Jesus, that they actually are trusting him, that they're understanding that what he did for them once and for all through the cross and in that heavenly tabernacle is the one thing they need: forgiveness and restoration and inclusion in the family of God in following Jesus. If there's anyone here this morning that this needs to become their moment, Lord, we know you're going to be faithful to speak into their lives. If that's you this morning and it's time to make that choice and make it sure, would you acknowledge that this morning? Raise your hand and through that holy act, put your trust in God. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? We'll pause just a moment for you to have your once and for all moment. Lord Heavenly Father, move in the lives of these who are reaching out for all of your grace even now. And I pray that you will assure them as they confess their sins to you that in Jesus you have forgiven their sins and that you are resolving that sin problem in them, that they might know in this moment that they are saved and that the process of continuing to be saved and having assurance as we move toward that moment of fully being saved is really underway in their life. Confirm it, Lord. Affirm them and help them to feel the seal of your presence just now. For some of the others of us here, we just need a reminder. We need to refocus. We need to realize we're not there yet, but everything that's important is happening in Jesus in our lives. And if that's you this morning, you're being renewed and refreshed and refocused in following your once and for all Savior, then would you acknowledge it this morning too and raise your hand? Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else this morning? Lord, we thank you for the work that you're doing in our lives. I pray now by the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that you'd work in each life that's reaching out to be renewed in you today. And may your presence be visited upon each one of us continually. Lord, just enough to give us that longing for more of you and that longing to see you in your fullness, in your kingdom that is to come. Thank you for that hope. And we pray all of this in Jesus' powerful name. And everyone said, amen. God is good. God is for you. And God is working out his will and resolving the sin problem in your life this morning. Know it and live it. Would you stand with me? I pray this morning that Jesus, your Messiah, will be more real to you than ever this week. As you live in him, walk in favor with God and with man, and take the good news with you, because he will appear again. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Yes. Oh, one thing I forgot. Yes. Shirley wants to talk for just a moment before you go about holiness today, so have a quick seat. I asked her to remind me. This will just take a moment. This is a good way to stay connected during the week. So here's a microphone right here.
Well, I was very nervous about doing this, and then I said, oh, no, he forgot. I said, oh, I got to let him know. I don't want to do this again. But he asked me to do this on Wednesday night. I don't know how it came up or what I said, but he asked me to speak about the holiness today. I'm sure most of you, if not all of you, are familiar with the holiness today.
They may not be, so why don't you tell them
what it is. So anyway, I have several here, and I wanted to talk about each one just a little. But the holiness today is the Nazarene's magazine, if you want to call it that. But it's worth having in your home, just like your Bible, because there is so much in these articles in this magazine that you really need to read them, and it helps you in so many ways. I've just been happy to have it, and I just wouldn't go without it. And, of course, I had called Kansas City. One thing I want to tell you, I called Kansas City the other day, and I talked to the lady there, and she said she's going to be sending the church several subscriptions, and these are $12 for each issue, and there's only six. We used to have it monthly, but now they've cut it down to 2 months.
It's $12 for the year,
yes.
Right?
Yes, right. Okay. Yes, yeah. It's $12 for the year, and but it's, you know, it used to be every month. Now it's just the combined. So they're much thicker, you know, and there's a lot of good stuff in there. So I wanted to let you know that the secretary can be aware that those will be coming through, and we can pass them out next Sunday or, you know, whenever, if you would like, I would hope. And this one here that I've got in my hand, each one is just filled with so many things that you just, it's hard to say when to stop and where to stop and, you know, to talk about, because so much is in there. Our general superintendents always, you know, write an article right there on the first page, and it goes from there on and on and on. But these are just, I just cannot talk enough about them, because this one here has Martin Luther on the front about the Reformation, and there's just so many things. And I wanted to, in this issue, this is September, October of 17, so this has been a while. But at that particular time, this article here, it says, Jesus is Lord, and this is David A. Busick, chairman on behalf of the Board of General Superintendents. The 29th General Assembly was held in Indianapolis. I don't know if you've ever been able to go to one of the conventions in Indianapolis, but it's worth it if you can. I've gone several times, but this was in June. It's always in June, every 4 years, and this was in 17. And it says, the Church of the Nazarene was born from a series of mergers among holiness-minded churches and associations between 1907 and 1908. The first merger took place in the U.S. when the Church of the Nazarene merged with the Association of Pentecostal Churches of America. 1 year later, the Holiness Church of Christ from the South joined them for the Unifying General Assembly in Pilot Point, Texas. And it's just, I cannot, we have two new generals. We have six altogether, and two new ones, gentlemen and a woman. I think she's our first one, but that's okay.
I think she's actually our second one. But that's all right, yeah.
Oh, see, I knew I'd goof on something.
Yeah, so you could learn about the history of our church.
Right.
You have wonderful writings from some of the leaders of our church. Also just from lay people and pastors who submit articles to be written. Mm-hmm. So it's very encouraging, gives you a picture worldwide of what's happening, but also just gives you some daily devotional encouragement as well. So it's excellent, an excellent resource.
I just have took one more. This was about Susanna, I should say, Wesley. And of course we know John and Charles. I believe most of us are familiar with them. And this is a book, this issue here is just all about them and what she did and raising those children, and it is just amazing to me. This is a worth just having and keeping alone. And I think the other one, okay, so many things in here I wanted to read to you, and I know we don't have time. But if anyone would like to take one of these and take it home, I would let you borrow it if you don't have one. But these issues are just so worthwhile, and they're full of things to read. It's not just a few sentences here and there, but it's really good education for us to learn more about the church and the people that came before and, you know, brought us to where we're at today. So if anyone would like to take one of these home, I'd be more than happy to give it to you. If you're not familiar with it, just let me know.
Okay, so wonderful. Thank you so much. Really a great resource. Okay, you are dismissed. Have a great week.